What's up? It's Draymond Green. I'm back for my 14th NBA season, and my podcast, The Draymond Green Show, is back too. This season, I'm breaking down games, reacting to the biggest NBA stories, and sitting down with teammates, rivals, and culture shapers. And trust me, I'm not holding back, on the court or on the mic. Two new episodes every week, new segments, big conversations, real basketball talk for the real hoop heads. Listen to and follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts. We're back, we're better, let's get it.
And Rodgers tapping his gut, takes the snap. Rodgers, pocket collapsing. Rodgers, it's going to go down, and the ball is out. Who's got it? Rankins picks it up. He's on the move. 30, 25, 20, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, Sheldon Rankins. Rock and roll. The big guy, touchdown. The ball came out, and Sheldon, his second touchdown of the year. And what a huge one in the postseason.
You know what's funny about that play?
Mm-hmm.
The way that Sheldon Rankins yoinked that out of the pile,
yeah.
We were talking about the different things that it evoked to us. Somebody on the text line earlier in the program said he looked like a porch pirate. You know what I mean? Just someone who's like, well, I sent an Amazon package. Let me just, yep, I'm out of there. I'm out of there. But it just, it was indicative for me watching that game. It just felt like it got easier later in the game because of the pressure.
Absolutely.
The pressure of the game, like the game script. Happens, and I wonder if that put some onus or the impetus on the offense to try and get out quickly. I know generally you want to do that. I wonder if that was what CJ felt was why he was pressing early. But you know, if you put an opposing team against this defense in a negative game script, it just gets that much easier for them.
It's over. It's been over.
It just gets that much easier for them. It's really devastating. In fact, to watch them do that. And it was devastating to watch them take a game that was close on paper, but just continued to look like the Texans dominated. And ultimately, the score reflected it. 30-6 in favor of the Texans. Wild card round check. And now on to the divisional round to face off against the New England Patriots. Before we do that, I want to keep looking at this game at different angles. And one of the good ways to do that is to get the OG's passing thoughts.
I'll start with that one since you brought it up. I mentioned to my wife as it
what happened. Going into the locker room.
No.
You got to stop doing that with a playoff team.
One of these days, I'll tell you. One of these days. No, I said that was like him when you go to the pumpkin patch. Oh, this is the one this is a good one right here, and you just lean down, pick up the pumpkin, and take off. So that was my.
You run away from the pumpkin patch?
Well, I don't run, but
he don't be paying. Like that's why he looked like he'd just be stealing pumpkins at the pumpkin.
Maybe
patch.
He was. Yeah. My first passing thought was as you're watching the pregame, you're getting pumped up for the game and all that. I mean, this is not necessarily breaking news, but I thought ESPN and ABC they pumped up this game beautifully. Like the whole pregame show, the buildup, you know, the Ted Nugent stranglehold that they were playing, you know, the anthem was played, the pregame show. This was just, if you weren't amped before, just watching that pregame show was going to get you amped up.
And you definitely were amped up when you saw the Monday Night Countdown crew go 4-1 in favor of the Steelers picking this game. The only one, shout out to Marcus Spears, Swagoo, picking the Texans. And I guess maybe, possibly, you could give a level of pass to Ryan Clark because that's the team he played for, and so he was just going to do that.
Yeah.
The rest of y'all, what excuse did you have?
Yeah, well. Never lost on Monday night.
Like there was just a lot of, well, you know,
yeah.
I know Brewski he ends up being a hater of sorts, but there's a lot of, actually, Brewski wasn't even on that. Let me make sure I get my notes because I wrote it down. I was like, ain't no way that y'all got five people out here picking against the Texans in this way. Let's see. Stephen A. Smith, gross. Jason Kelsey.
That's right.
Picking against them.
Yeah.
And Scott Van Pelt all picking Pitt. And I'm like, what is wrong with y'all? What have y'all seen? That gives you the confidence to do this. I hope they feel dumb right now.
Yeah. All right, another passing thought here. And we've talked about C.J. Stroud and is he in his head or whatever. This was my first one kind of late in the first quarter where I really thought, as overwhelming as the Texans ultimately wound up being defensively, just dominating, we know what happened, I thought the whole team looked a little tight. I thought, and let me give you some examples.
Please.
First play of the game by the Steelers, 10-yard run. Second play of the game, second or third, by the Steelers, 17-yard completion.
That completion felt like that was a discipline thing.
Okay, maybe they were a little tight. You know what I'm saying? The Texans just came out, and then there was some pre-snap movement on the Texans' first drive. Remember that? They kind of got behind the chains. Then there was a 22-yard punt by Townsend.
Townsend was a little dicey at some points in this game. Didn't matter ultimately because field position, you could put him wherever on the field. That defense was locking them boys down after a point.
Then there was Trent Brown had a little problem with T.J. Watt until he didn't. But early on, I just thought collectively, even over and above C.J. Stroud, which he looked like he was tight and kind of in his own head for a while. In fact, the majority of the game, I thought they just kind of came out a little tight. And then, they settled down, it was all good.
Yeah, the first two plays, you guys even made mention of, or not the first two plays, but early on in the game, you guys texted and were like, oh, the DK, did we not give him enough credit?
Yeah.
And I thought we did, but I thought that the things early on the DK got yards on were more things that we had talked about. One of those being the second play of the game, there was the quick screen. And I thought that was more, oh, these guys did not shed that block that they typically would. They ended up getting blocked on the outside, and DK just followed his blocks there. I felt like that was less about him, that Ben Skoranek. Hey, what's happening, big fella?
Oh, he's good.
Then there was the pass interference, which was Kamari Lassiter oddly getting got to where he turned his head early.
Yeah.
And then DK was able to, you know, continue his physical momentum forward and then get him on a penalty. I thought that the impact of DK really showed up when he was streaming down the streaks, down the seams and getting vertical that way. And really, there was one, like a corner route where he was able to drag Kamari Lassiter deep and they had a pass underneath there. I thought that those were really the bigger things with DK Metcalf. Otherwise, I thought that they did phenomenal, especially Kamari Lassiter sticking with him, using a little bit of wily veteran type things to cover them.
No, they obviously and emphatically answered the call and answered the bell. I just feel like, and understandable, by the way, because we've mentioned this. This was the first game, playoff game, the Texans were expected to win. You know, the first one they were favored in.
Yeah, that's true.
So I thought maybe just a little tight, but boy, did they answer it.
And some of it also was I thought that, yeah, it might be tightness. Mm-hmm. We did need to give the Steelers offensive line a little bit of credit, and then we will take it away very soon. Don't worry. that is actually a nice young offensive line that's going to, you know, they probably have the first three guys on that offensive line to make a good offensive line as they continue to iterate in a similar way, I guess, or maybe not similar, but in a way that you would kind of hope the Texans are offensively, where you go, oh, there's a few guys that you have that you look forward to adding more to and making something really nice. And then you just absolutely blew them up pass rushing when these guys were pinning their ears back. Because, my goodness, Sheldon Rankins.
Oh, man.
He flattened them. He cartoon flattened the left guard, Seumalo, right? Like, he just flattened them.
Well, let me jump ahead to another passing thought, because that's one of them that I had a little later. I thought even if he didn't score a touchdown, that Sheldon Rankins was probably one of the biggest, sort of under-the-radar defensive stars of this game. It wasn't just a touchdown. He had a ball game, like play after play after play. The running backs were seeing ghosts out there, man. They couldn't get any traction.
Yeah, I almost felt for Jaylen Warren and Kenny Gainwell, although Kenny Gainwell is dead to me because he dropped that one pass that would have gotten – that would have gotten decisions to be correct in various instances. But no, man, those guys, them, Jonnu Smith, was it Austin? I thought all of them had to be sick at just how responsive the defense is to play short in the flats. There were some hits, including, did you see Azeez Alshire absolutely flatten somebody in the middle of the field? In the kill zone, as they call it?
Yes.
I thought he might have actually died.
Yeah. Another one, and this is more than just a passing thought, but I do want to point out this. There's more than just a Nico injury that could come into play going into New England. Nico is a big one, and as I pointed out, and some listeners sort of said they saw the same thing or confirmed, however you want to put it, he had a little bit of a hit that looked a little suspicious earlier in the first quarter. When he went to the tent, then came back out, went back on the field. But then Jalen Reed, man. Jalen Reed was, injured on the fourth play of the game. We'll see how that plays out over the course of the week.
He did return to the game, though.
Yeah.
And so that was encouraging. Mm-hmm. And he played well, although I don't recall very much testing. I guess I need to go through the All-22 a little bit more thoroughly to see how he held up. But, the trust that they had in him continues to be validated. He came up and hit as well, which was, there was one of those plays where they were playing umbrella defense and everybody was just back at the sticks on like a, third and 14 or something like that. he rallies. I think it might have been 3rd and 17. He rallies up and he comes up and makes a tackle, pure form tackle. And I was like, all right, good, because that is exactly what you need from that position. Somebody who's going to be able to thump as well.
Hopefully, there's a lot more to come. But I thought that this one game and what he did and how important he was made the Christian Kirk acquisition worth it. No matter what he did in the regular season, it was worth it just because of what he did yesterday.
Yeah, 100%. Especially because 100%. You have not gotten that production from the slot.
Yeah.
It's one of the things that's been deeply frustrating is not being able to get the production from the slot, whether, you know, the continual usage of Christian Kirk and then the lack of usage to some way of Jalen Noel. You got production, but on top of that, it felt like you got the veteran type production that I had been hoping for when you got a Christian Kirk, that I felt like I was sold, the bill of goods that I felt like I was sold. You saw him use his savvy in instances, even in times where I, you know, oh, there's a block. I don't know if it's a great block, but he does a good job of just kind of using a veteran wide receiver savvy to where that's not a great block, but it does enough to turn your defender and create a little bit of a seal so the guy who's running can get an advantage there. I thought that this was encouraging, especially because of the Nico Collins, concussion. If he is not there, Jaden Higgins is going to have to slide over and be that kind of X receiver. And we saw the difference between him and Nico, even if just slightly, when, you know, he runs a go and CJ throws a back shoulder to him that Nico Collins absolutely contorts himself to get.
Yeah.
Jaden Higgins doesn't even really see it coming and does not, he's not able to react quick enough.
Yeah.
I think that is where you're going to need another, maybe not exactly, hey, Christian Kirk, come out and put up a franchise record receiving performance.
Making 145
again.
Yards.
Yeah. This time. But you're going to need him to be somebody that you can depend on to get the ball to, especially because I'm sorry that I'm now taking over passing thoughts. Dalton Schultz kind of conspicuously had his targets.
Anonymous. Not absent, because he had a lot of snaps, but just sort of anonymous.
Yeah.
Not a big factor.
Yeah, it did not seem to factor in.
I actually
in.
Had him on there as well. It was just curious.
And those are your two biggest targets for C.J. Stroud in this offense all season long, Nico and Dalton Schultz. And one got injured in this game, and one of them, I wonder if the injuries impacted it, but he was not very involved in what the offense was doing in this game.
All right, I got a two-part passing thought for you here. Forget what you feel about whether the play would have worked, that flea flicker or whatever. Just set that aside. I just wish, this is part one, I could have listened in on the conversation between D'Amico Ryans and Nick Caley after the ill-fated flea flicker play, because he was open, but it was slow developing. Forget you know, the validity of the play. I just wish I could have heard, because this is part two. It was no coincidence that on the very ensuing drive, Woody Marks ate 92 yards, 14 plays, right down their throats, and that established the tone for the entire rest of the game.
Without question. You know that I take my notes and I color code them. So the color for good offensive play is light blue. Don't ask me why. It just works out that way.
Yeah.
I will now show you Houston's third drive here. Tell me what you see.
It's all blue.
Dude, they were just so good on that drive. And it's play after play. It's CJ hitting the top of his drop, getting forward, hitting Dalton Schultz on a sit down. Cool. That one, and then you end up with an inside zone. Great, great feet by Nick Chubb on that play. You get the single back. Great pace by Nick Chubb on that play. And obviously good punch up front. And then a really good, mind you, pancake block by Kate Stover on TJ Watt as well in there. A play that I loved. This one legitimately made me sit up in my seat. After middle run, and you're beating them. Nick Caley goes, here's Woody Marks stretching to the outside and hitting the corner for 20-some yards. Like, I was like, oh, this is beautiful.
And that came right after the flea flicker.
Oh, it was beautiful. It was gorgeous. And like we said, I thought that Nick Caley did a great job, and it probably D'Amico had some factor in this.
Run the damn ball.
Hey, you know what's effective?
Don't get cute.
The Marshawn Lynch school of hit them over and over and over again. And they just did that to the tune of a touchdown, and the touchdown that put them up for the game at that point. Like, you could actually say the offense won the game there. Now, it'd be missing a lot of
context. We
didn't
know what was going to happen.
But,
speaking of we didn't know what was going to happen, another one for you here. How do we feel about D'Amico's game management and timeout use again?
I felt like Troy Aikman. Troy Aikman was on the broadcast every timeout, like, ooh, this is a little early. I don't think that they should do this. And that's one thing I love about Troy Aikman. I'm kind of excited that he will again be on the call next weekend for the Texans. He is one of the best at being an analyst on these games because he is not afraid at all to give his true unvarnished opinions in a way that I think some people are trying to be nice or some people are afraid to give it. He's like, no, I thought that was, you know, bad timeout usage here.
It was. And I made note of it. There was 41 seconds left when they had a completion. I forget to who. And one timeout left. That's textbook. Run up, clock it.
That was the completion to – oh, no, that was after the deep pass. It was a quick ball to Kate Stover.
Yes. So run up, clock it. You still have your timeout. Instead, they called the timeout.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, okay, now the middle of the field is eliminated.
Deep shot.
You know?
Deep shot well to Noel that he couldn't bring in. Then that doesn't happen. And then here comes a slant.
Mm-hmm.
Timeout.
Yeah.
You know, just that's the thing that got frustrating is that there are other ways to stop the clock, and it felt like they couldn't employ it. And it's been a long-term thing also, not just the calling of the timeouts or the mismanagement of time. It never feels like Nick Caley can put in two plays.
I don't know. I don't know if he does or he doesn't, but I think in that particular case, it's textbook. Over 30 seconds, and it's reasonable enough, get up there, clock it, and you save a timeout.
Yeah, that was an odd way of handling that.
Yeah.
It feels like, you know, and I know it's not easy to be like, hey, this play, and then if it works, run this play then after it.
Yeah.
But that feels like that's entirely not an option, as opposed to every once in a while, you might need to be able to call two plays in at once or, you know, be able to get a second play in quickly. It doesn't feel like they do. It feels like it very much every play is the same process. We call the play, we watch the outcome, and then we formulate what the next play is. And I understand wanting to do that, but there's some instances where you need to be able to be a little malleable, I think.
One more, because it must be said. Kyahmi Fairbairn, money. Now, I know there was the flubber.
The worm burner at the end. The 51-yarder was nice.
Yeah.
You needed that one at that moment.
In that stadium, and with that, by the way, that was another one I didn't get to. That turf caught a couple of victims there.
Without question. That was one of the reasons why Nico Collins or CJ misses Nico Collins on a comeback route that I think he actually placed the ball pretty damn well.
Right.
But Nico Collins at the break, he slips, and he slips in the way of it looked like he was playing golf. Mm-hmm. You saw a divot come out of the turf up into the air. Thank God that you're not playing there. Do we have anything to worry about in Foxborough at Gillette Stadium? It's not notoriously bad like Pittsburgh, but it is turf outdoors in the cold.
I haven't even checked the weather yet.
All right. Okay. Before you get a chance to do that, we're just going to end this segment right here.
The weather.
Don't check the weather.
Though. Always check
How
the
dare
weather.
You? In the middle of a show, check the weather on me. You sick son of a... All right. You're in the loop.
Doing that as we speak.
You're in the loop
weather
right here.
Weather report next.
Hey, make sure you hold your nose when you say this. Hold your nose.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm here for the weather report.
Oh, okay.
Thank
you. What are we doing?
Thank you. All right, coming up next, let's do our lunchtime confessions. You're in the loop.
What's up? It's Draymond Green. I'm back for my 14th NBA season, and my podcast, The Draymond Green Show, is back too. This season, I'm breaking down games, reacting to the biggest NBA stories, and sitting down with teammates, rivals, and culture shapers. And trust me, I'm not holding back, on the court or on the mic. Two new episodes every week, new segments, big conversations, real basketball talk for the real hoop heads. Listen to and follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts. We're back, we're better, let's get it.
All right, so we've already established today, I am unafraid, and I think a lot of listeners were kind of hopping on board, unafraid to say it. This is the year, isn't it, is how I started the show. Everything is stacking up just great. This defense, you know, as you put it, you know, perfectly, you know, if the offense, but they know if with the defense, you know, this defense is going to do it. So that
they're going to start calling you a Cowboys fan, man.
Why?
This is the year. This is our year.
No. I've never said that.
Uh-huh. No, D'Amico Ryan say, that's, you know, yeah.
Don't, say it with your chest. Don't be afraid. Embrace it.
One game at a time,
it,
big dog.
Acknowledge it. We know what we're looking at.
One game at a time, big dog.
But that's not the confession. The reason I put that out there is my confession part is I'm already looking at the best Super Bowl opponent. Like,
you really are. You're all in on this.
I'm like, all right, who do I want to see the Texans play in the Super Bowl? I'm already there. And by the way, I have a team.
Yeah, I was like, go on.
Chicago Bears. Chicago Bears would be awesome.
Bad defense.
Well, not only
that. Are you looking as story who they line. Can beat the best or the storyline?
Yes.
Or good matchup.
Both. I think the Bears are sort of the romantic team this year. You know, not since forever have they been there, and George Halas is looking down and all that stuff. Very much a romance going on with the Chicago Bears. Texans Bears would be off the charts. Off the charts. Do you have any ideas? Like, go ahead and go there. Don't be afraid. Embrace it. Embrace it, Reggie.
Honestly, I was thinking more about we going to need a bigger space. If we get to the Super Bowl at Radio Row.
Oh, we will.
We going to need a stage.
I think
they're going to have to give us a stage with a couple couches.
I think they make
a. You want us to go podcast?
Hey, we got to. Honestly, we being real, we should be looking like that.
I think they make accommodations for the teams involved. So I think we will actually have that. But Super Bowl opponent. I'm already looking, and I've landed on the Bears. How about
one,
you?
One, two.
What?
Three. That's you counting chickens.
No, man. Quit with that. Don't make me mad. Stop with that. This team is so freaking good.
Reggie over there one game at a time.
This is a Super
Bowl. That's what D'Amico say.
Look, this is a Super Bowl caliber team, period. I don't see anyone that can beat this team. I just don't. Of course the ball could bounce funny. Of course C.J. Stroud could bleep the bed. You know, we know that as of last night. But if we're just looking at basic, you know, predictions and analyzing the rest of the playoff field, this is a Super Bowl team. Period. Go with it, man. Embrace it.
What would take you, Reggie, to go for this? Mm-hmm. Like, will it take you for, I guess, them to beat the Patriots, to be in the AFC?
I think they're more than capable.
Would you be?
I think they're more than capable, and I think you're absolutely in a place where things
no,
are lining
I'm talking
up
about
well
what. No, I know
to just
you
get
know,
out here and just start yeah, saying that they're no, going when to the
is
Super Bowl.
What would it take when for you to you say go, what I just said?
Yeah,
this is the year.
Yeah,
it?
When are you going to get rid of the one game at a time? Like you're a coach like, or some stuff.
One thing you got to appreciate is I have been sitting here looking at this team going, and then D'Amico, they just beat it. They've beat it into me. I believe in this team. I just am now also going to believe in the way that they're going about it. And the way that they've gone about it is you take this one game at a time and you let this thing
but
build.
But you're not on the damn team, him. Man. Okay, you're not in the locker room.
So,
hey, we talk. Look, we being fanboys right now, man.
Y'all got it then?
And I don't even think it's being fanboys.
Yeah, y'all got it.
Like, no, we drinking the Kool-Aid.
It. Why do I got to be a fanboy to the degree that you fanboys?
Hey, just go back to the, back to the locker room then, man.
Here's the most important
go
thing.
Go get your jersey number.
I got to start picking out my Super Bowl outfit.
Go get your jersey number then, man.
Here's the most important thing.
Go get your jersey on then.
Figgy, how long have we been working together.
Tell Reggie, get the pads on.
We've been working together 6-7 years.
One game at a time, yeah.
All right, and I've been doing this for 41 years. Never, ever, ever have I said this is the year. Ever.
This is not fanboy.
This is looking at, I know what I'm looking at.
I don't think there's nothing wrong with doing that right
no,
now.
No, there's not, but I'm saying that's not where I am. I know what a Super Bowl team looks like. This looks like a Super Bowl team.
What's up? It's Draymond Green. I'm back for my 14th NBA season, and my podcast, The Draymond Green Show, is back too. This season, I'm breaking down games, reacting to the biggest NBA stories, and sitting down with teammates, rivals, and culture shapers. And trust me, I'm not holding back, on the court or on the mic. 2 new episodes every week, new segments, big conversations, real basketball talk for the real hoop heads. Listen to and follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts. We're back. We're better. Let's get it.
Sure. One game at a time, Lopez. One game at a time.
I don't want to do this. It's a victory reaction Tuesday. We're having a lot of fun appreciating a 30-6 victory. We've seen better teams lose in the playoffs.
Of course. I said the ball bounces.
I'm not going to have these superstitious people coming at me behind it. That's why.
Care. Man, don't hit us with those 2B-fairs.
Yeah.
Come on, man. We talking
do you
about
know
the
who I am?
We're talking, about, with we talking about the Houston Texans
I'm
right
gonna
now, man.
I'm going to 2B-fair you to
don't
death.
Hit me with the 2B-fair.
Yeah,
I'm
that was a 2B-fair right there.
You to death. How about that?
Yeah.
Hold on to that.
Understand how uncommon it is to have a team like this in your city. And we do. We do.
When was the last time somebody put Super Bowl and Texans in the same sentence?
Earlier in the season in 2012, before some injuries started hitting them. Before that, maybe it was the Oilers.
I seen something this morning, and I don't know how y'all feel about this, but I think First Take said something like, if CJ Stroud is in the way of the Houston Texans winning the Super Bowl, I thought that was wild.
That is...
That is wild,
that's
man.
The base show fodder.
So they pretty much saying this is a Super Bowl team, and if the franchise quarterback is in the way,
It's debate show fodder.
I just think, I know this is confession.
That's crazy though, man.
But I also think that we gotta really.
They ain't doing that where any other team right now.
Yeah. No, they're not. And that's been, the Houston Texans and the relationship with the national media has constantly and consistently been really odd. On these shows, a lot of the conversation, except for Pat McAfee, a sicko that appreciates defense as much as the rest of us. A lot of these have been the context of the Steelers, the Mike Tomlin conversation. And it makes sense if you are doing a ratings conversation, you look at it and you go, the Steelers are one of those fan bases that is everywhere all over the globe because of historical factors, so on and so forth. But yeah, that is not, the Texans have not been the focus. I think I want to reserve that moment for later. Actually, it ties into my own confession, if you want to be honest. So just don't hit me, to be fair. I do feel like, though, yesterday I might not have come with enough energy.
Mm-hmm.
I think that I am very cautious to a lot of this. And I recognized it after the show, because after the show, I was like, damn, did I not have enough
hype? I didn't notice.
Did I not have enough hype for this? Well, what made it very evident is, shout out to Ron the Show Hughley. He came out the gate swinging.
Oh, he was screaming.
On this game. And I loved it. And I was like, damn, did I not come with the right energy?
Yeah.
And I felt like I was not vindicated, but I was soothed a little bit when D'Amico Ryans did the interview with NFL Countdown before, like 15 minutes before kickoff, something that coaches don't do.
Yeah.
And he was also in a very calm state, and he's the whole don't get too high, don't get too low. And that is the ethos that I'm trying to reflect. And I told you guys also in another confession, my watch has been telling me I've been stressing. So I'm very much trying to get into that zen that D'Amico Ryans has. That is inspiring me. I'm thinking that I can channel the type of performance that these Texans are giving because they are very much following the lead of their head coach, D'Amico Ryans. So I'm going to follow that lead too. One game at a time, baby.
Oh, I mean, no.
Hey, enjoy.
Hey, do what you got to do, big dog.
Enjoy the moment, man.
I'm enjoying it the way I enjoy.
Hey,
why can't I enjoy it like this?
I'm not on the damn team,
why
man.
Why can't I enjoy
I understand
like this?
I understand them going one
I
game
can't
at a time.
Like, I'm just enjoying the hell out of
good
football.
And not eat the rat poison and all that stuff. Salute to Nick Saban.
Yeah.
Nah, damn it. I'm a fan, man.
Will Anderson,
I'm happy.
Said,
that was
don't
a,
take the rat poison.
Hey, man, it's a clear path right now, man. I ain't about to sit here and say one game at a time. Don't get too excited about it.
Let me tell you.
Let's go, man.
Let me tell you a story real quick.
Oh, God.
Let me tell you a story real
quick.
Here
we go.
So I was covering the NBA, and I was talking to my old friend, covered him a long time, Larry Brown. Remember the legendary Larry Brown coach? So we were at a bar after a game. Go figure. And this unbelievably gorgeous woman comes up to us. Well, comes up to him.
Fair.
And is flirting with him and is, you know, stroking the back of his head and coming on to him big time. And then he said something and she left. And I said, Larry, he was single. I said, Larry, why would you not, basically I said, follow up on her, follow up on that, you know?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And he looked at me, he goes, oh, she's great, but I'm afraid I might disappoint her. And I'm like, who cares? Who cares if you disappoint her? Did you see her? And he used to tell me that story. I was like, who cares if you disappoint her? It's done. You know, it's over. So Reggie just reminded me of that story. And there was another text. John, Figgy, the higher the expectations, the deeper the fall. Who cares? Oh, we got to do it one game. Who cares?
I'm just saying.
I know the team I'm looking at.
I'm just saying enjoy the moment, man. We ain't got to go through the one game at a time.
This legitimately makes me
happy. Oh, I'm not thinking about the AFC championship game.
This legitimately makes me mad.
I'm thinking about the first game before the AFC championship. I'm not that far yet.
How do you not know after almost 2 years of
knowing me? Oh, we know you. We're just trying to fix you.
Yeah, no, it's hard.
I enjoy this game differently, man.
It's hard for me to believe that nobody has thought about the AFC championship.
Oh, I thought about it a lot.
Or not, Super Bowl.
Not only that, but AFC championship here.
Yes,
imagine, I thought about that a lot. That's the undercurrent.
No, you don't. One game at a time, man.
That is the undercurrent of talking about the Bills, you know, making sure to get a victory, and talking about the fact that they're not going to have Gabe Davis and Ed Oliver's coming back. That's the undercurrent of talking about all those things, the opportunity to be back at NRG Stadium, tailgating and going into an AFC championship game. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to focus on the things that are right in front of me.
One game at a time.
I'm going to.
You ain't thinking about no tailgate, man. You're thinking about one game at a time.
And ain't nothing wrong with that. And I got some people with me, too, from the 713 with Reggie.
They're just scared. They don't want to be disappointed. They know how good this team is.
Hey, man. I'm going to
appreciate the run all the way through.
Hey, this is a rare time. When was the last time you thought about where it was a possibility to get to the AFC Championship game?
Exactly.
No, this is the closest.
And my thing about it is,
in a very long time,
I think that we're coming to the same thing actually from very different ways, which is this is a unique time in Houston Texans history.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you guys are like, yo, the opportunity to go to the Super Bowl is so exciting. And I'm like, yes, the opportunity is so exciting. I want to enjoy and appreciate all of the path. Because I do think that sometimes in life, and now I'm getting philosophical, apologies. Sometimes in life, we make the destination the thing. And then you get to the destination, it does not feel as fulfilling.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to soak up all the journey.
Ain't nobody think about all that.
But some people are. You don't get to speak for everybody.
So we sitting here talking about, I don't want to think too much on it because when it happened, then I won't be as... People are going to be celebrating like crazy.
And I'm not telling them when it happens.
I'll just wrap it up with what I, again, not to preach, 41 years I've been covering sports in this town. I've never seen a team like this.
Agreed.
This is a Super Bowl team.
Okay.
Will they win it? Will they get there? The ball can bounce in crazy different directions, and maybe it won't happen. But this is a Super Bowl team.
Okay.
One game at a time.
Nothing wrong with saying that.
I'm just playing, man.
We going to fight for real. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. On the other side of myself and Figgy fighting, who had the best game for the Texans yesterday? Because I think it's a little bit more difficult than you might imagine. Let's go through that next.
Marks in the backfield, Stroud under center. Everybody bunched in fairly tight here. Hand off Woody, right side, cuts back 10, 5. Woody to the end zone! Touchdown, Houston! That's going to seal it off. Woody Marks, 13-yard touchdown run. Good night, Pittsburgh.
They are headed for the exits.
For all the Steelers fans coming to watch their first postseason victory since 2016, get out.
That's right.
I missed that.
Yeah. It was great. That one made it 24-6. You gave gave them more points on the back end of that for good measure. And a great point on the YouTube page, and if you watch that play, you beat them into submission quite literally.
Oh, yeah.
Steelers on that play just kind of, you could see them just, well, what's the use?
Welp.
What's the point of going?
They were like, welp.
And so that capped off a Woody Marks 112-yard performance, 19 carries, 112. Sick behavior.
Very.
From Woody Marks. Is he the answer to this question? Who was the best Texan on the night? It seems like an easy question. There's a lot, or it's an easy answer to, but there's a lot. There's a lot of guys mm-hmm. that you could throw in here.
I'm thinking, because the easy answer for me is Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter.
Will Anderson is a great answer.
17 pressures.
Between the both of them. This was a game where coming in, I was talking about it as such that, yeah, the pressures are going to matter more than the sacks. I don't know that, especially with Aaron Rodgers' affinity for getting the ball out quickly. Yeah. I don't know if you're actually going to get to him in the same ways that, and we've had that happen a number of times during the course of this season where we've come into a game with a dude who seems susceptible to getting sacked and you go, it's going to be like seven of them. And then there was ended up being none of them or maybe one of them. And you go, all right. So I looked at this and I was like, maybe they got the sacks.
Yeah.
They got the pressures. They got the sacks. It all came together. And Will Anderson Jr. just seemed to be around all of the chaos.
Yeah, so to me, that's the easy answer, and I think it's the obvious answer, and maybe it is the answer. But there are other candidates. Jalen Petrie, to me, had the best game of his life. Tackling, covering, backfield, sticky, and just when he touched you, you went down. And I would put Kamari Lassiter next to him on that. I would say if it wasn't Danielle Hunter and Will Anderson, who was Kamari Lassiter and Jalen Petrie.
Those are great answers.
Just overall or on the defense?
He said best player.
Yeah, we're
offense.
We're
making.
I'm surprised I didn't bring up Christian Kirk, man.
Definitely.
I did not see that going. They needed that.
Oh, without Christian Kirk.
And that was a career high for him.
Yeah, I mean, and it sounds weird to say because they won 30-6, but without Christian Kirk in the flow of the game, you might not have won. You know?
Yeah.
Because he saved those drives. He converted those
Yeah, he kept
down.
The drives going.
Yeah, and being great on third down was super important in this. Can I come at this from a fairly unorthodox way?
Mm-hmm.
I try and do that from time to time. Can I throw up number 69, Ed Ingram?
To me, that's a bit of a reach.
Okay.
Good game.
because they were fantastic in pushing the pocket. It was a lot of duo blocks.
The reason I said that, because it was a lot of double teams.
It was a lot of duo blocks up front, but it was a lot of those duo blocks right in the middle that created the opportunity for Woody Marks to have 112. Mm-hmm. That created the opportunity for Nick Chubb to have, what, like 6 yards
Well, I would say a game. Andrews and Ingram.
But the thing about it is,
and then Ingram went to second.
I think
level.
We know what Andrews looks like by himself.
Teams is what did it.
But I think we know what Ingram looks like by himself, and I would lean towards Ed Ingram. Plus, there was a lot of times where they were clearly running off of that right guard.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why I do that is the push that they got up front, it sustained them. You mentioned the third drive of the game in which they made that off of running the football right down the Steelers' gut.
Yep.
And on top of that, this team ran unbelievably successfully on early downs. Quite literally, if you look at their percentile, their success rate was, I think, something like 47% success rate on early downs rushing. That is in the 83rd percentile of the league. Yeah. This little run game that we had, that we go, it's not necessarily good, but it's sufficient.
Mm-hmm.
They ran better than 83% of the league this year on early downs. Gave them short third downs. I asked you this earlier, and so I'll ask it again for the benefit of the audience. What was the average yards to go on third down for the Texans in this game?
What was it?
5.5 yards compared to like 11 for the Steelers in this game. Of course, that speaks more to the defense, but they did a great job of being in third and manageable so they could pick up third down on 7 of 9 times in the first half. I don't even remember how many times it happened in the second half, and that was because they ran the ball well, and that started with right off that middle off of Ed Ingram.
No, Ed Ingram, a terrific game. Best player, I think it was the best development, because you have to include the rest of the offensive line, because there were places. Now they went right a lot, but Trent Brown had something to do with that. The tight ends had something to do with that. Clearly, to me, the double teams, I mean, that was the game plan. You could just see it all night long.
It definitely came together.
Yeah, the double teams was crucial. I think extremely good game. The offensive line, Woody Marks and Christian Kirk. I think those three things would have to be in the conversation. Woody Marks, I mean, that was huge, man. That was huge for him to be able to. I mean, he was finishing runs and just extra yardage. And
him and Nick Chubb just did a great job of trusting their blocks, really good feet, and then falling forward, as they've done all year long. And that just amounted to a ton. You mentioned Christian Kirk. Is there anybody else offensively that we need to consider here? You mentioned defensively. I feel like we could name everyone, and I will. Hey, what up, Sheldon Rankins? I've been singing his praises of late.
Mm-hmm.
Also, those screen passes, things of that nature, they did a great job of recognizing and getting to. Actually, you know what name we have not mentioned?
Mm-hmm.
Number 0, Azeez Al-Shaire.
Yeah, I mentioned him earlier, but just in passing, he and To'o both.
Yes. But
To'o was really
you notice what Azeez did so much in this game, which has been a big development for him at all this year.
Mm-hmm.
How many times did Pat Freiermuth go down the seam and you got Azeez running with him in coverage?
Yeah.
That's huge.
Yeah. I think he only had the one completion in the fourth quarter or late third quarter, Freiermuth. Derek Stingley. I mean, DK Metcalf early on. I know that's not offense, but I'm saying DK Metcalf early on, we were thinking, oh boy, this could get interesting. And he beat Stingley badly on a throw that they missed.
Got him on the double move,
But after
they didn't miss it. He dropped DK just dropped it. That hit him square in the hands.
Yeah. But other than that, put the clamps on him.
Him?
Yeah.
Kamari deserves a lot of love.
Kamari had a hell of a game.
You mentioned him, Fig. Kamari deserves a lot of love because they were trying him.
Mm-hmm.
They were trying him. With Calvin Austin.
Yeah.
I was like, okay.
Who else?
But Kamar did a great job.
Speed.
Yeah.
They were just saying, run. Let's see if we can get lucky.
They must have looked at his 40 time going into the draft.
And the beauty is he keeps coming up strong in those moments. I think the beauty of it is it's really hard to pick one. I think Jalen Petrie deserves it.
I thought Petrie had a hell of a game.
The biggest way that the Steelers were going to be able to matriculate down the field was getting the ball out in space, and Petrie was a heat-seeking missile.
Yeah, and you said offensively, I think it's really those offensive line. Maybe you want to go specific with Ingram,
just to answer the question.
Woody Marks and I think that's it. Christian Kirk,
just an incredible game all the way around for this team. Is there anybody else that we need to salute? I mean, not a player, but. Sometimes when we do this, we'll talk about coaches. I thought Nick Haley did a damn good job in this game.
He really did.
It looked worse because CJ had a rough go of it for a number of plays, but they were in the red zone a number of times. They were moving the ball pretty consistently. They focused in on what they did well.
Yeah, I think early on the script maybe wasn't what it should have been. They got a little greedy or too creative. And once they settled in and after the flea flicker, when they just said, screw it, we're going to run the ball, it was a good option. And I still think, you know, the first Kirk touchdown was just an absolute product of the run game, 100%. Everybody lined up tight. They did a little, you know, fake one way.
Yeah, orbit motion, end around.
And boom, wide open.
Just it's fantastic, fantastic game. And shout out to the 346. Jimmy Ward. Did you see the graphic?
The graphic was there.
What the hell is
he? He was in the starting lineup.
Like, he hasn't been in the starting lineup literally all year. What was ESPN on? How did they make that mistake?
That's so bizarre.
They'd have been more right if they put Tank Dell in that spot.
Even as a DB.
How does that work?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, salute to the Texans getting the job done in fantastic fashion. And salute to, I guess, Jalen Petrie, who we will call our in-the-loop player of the game. Is that fair?
Yeah, for me it was.
All right. Yeah. Although, again, feels weird.
Outside of those two guys that, you know, destroyed Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, those guys. And then Christian Kirk, who had 140-some yards of offense. It's impossible. That's an impossible answer to make. And we just have fun doing it. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, I want to return to D'Amico Ryans and this defense. Because D'Amico, he seemed to actually let down his guard a little bit when talking about him. Let's hear what D'Amico had to say about this defense.
We got a giveaway to give away.
But yeah, that's right. We got to make sure that we give away a 4-pack of tickets to go and to see the Houston Automotive Show at NRG Center. You get a chance to see classic autos, today's cars, trucks, and then also experience off-road adventures, all sorts of different things from the open road to the open water, all sorts of thrills for the whole family. And you'll have four passes to be able to do that. All you got to do is be caller number 11 right now. Caller number 11, 713-572-4610. We'll win that 4-pack of tickets to see select one of the days of the Houston Automotive Show, which is happening between January 28th and February 1st at NRG Center. Again, tickets are courtesy of the Houston Automotive Show. Caller number 11, 713-572-4610. Let's talk the defense next.
It's Draymond Green, kicking off my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast. And trust me, I'm not holding back. Listen to the Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.